Hey, we couldn't sit back and wait until after WrestleMania to do a podcast, let's face it. But we wanted to wait until we have the full card for this year's WrestleMania. So we fired up the WWE Network. We found some matches that we liked, and we're going to do watch-alongs with you guys. So hey, fire up your WWE Network and watch along with us. Let's go. Saturday, March 18th. Welcome back, everyone, to the Figure Four Podcast. My name is Doug. Listen, we got bored. We couldn't wait until after WrestleMania, like I said in the last episode. We wanted to do some more, but we're gonna wait until we have the full card to do our full rundown of WrestleMania. So in the meantime, we're gonna do some watch-alongs. So fire up your WWE Network. Our first watch-along is going to be February 8th, 1992, Hulk Hogan and Sid Justice versus Ric Flair and The Undertaker in a tag team match. It was a great one. It was the build-up for that year's WrestleMania that set up the double main event. Donald jumped on the show and we watched it. It was a great one. So, like I said before, fire up your WWE Network. We've got all the times and everything in the interview. Check it out. Let's go. February 8th, 1992. Justice and Hogan versus Flair and The Undertaker. Our mark is 8 minutes and 8 seconds. Fire up your WWE Network. We're going to count backwards and we're going to start watching this match. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right. 3, 2, 1, play. So at this point, there's the Royal Rumble. This was one of the best. I actually watched this Rumble a while ago. It was like the who's who, man. Like half of the ring, if not more, are Hall of Famers.
Oh my God, yeah.
I wonder what would have happened with Hogan and Flair if they had actually gone at it like when they were both in their prime. Well, Flair was still in his pretty good here. There goes Hogan over the top.
So up to this point, like there was talk like for years that Hogan and Flair needed to have a match, like that they needed to square off. This was the first time that they were ever in the ring together at the same time, wasn't it?
As far as I know, there might have been some house shows where they fought, but that's why this match, Hogan and Flair, was supposed to happen at WrestleMania. That year's WrestleMania, a few months down the road, and it didn't happen. They tried Hogan and Flair in house shows, and it just wasn't getting over. Right. So, and I think that's why they put Hogan against Justice. That's why the split up here. And look at Hogan crying, and there's Flair. You're right; he does look like a chicken or a rooster. Look at him.
I mean, the beak isn't really doing him much help either. I found it weird that when this match was done, that they didn't actually have the belt at ringside.
Like they didn't do that because they had to have the big thing backstage, right?
I guess so, yeah.
Jack Tunney presented him the belt. And this is awesome. Justice right behind him.
Jesus, he was a tall man. I mean, Hogan's no midget, but like, Justice probably has at least, what, an inch and a half, 2 inches on him?
2 inches, I would say. Oh, I remember this, the press conference. Justice was convinced he was getting the title match.
Yep.
And I think it was around this time here when Hogan got it. I think this is when people started getting off the Hulkamania train, like, Jesus, again? Like, yeah. And then by WrestleMania 9, he knew he was done.
Yeah.
Like, go away. Well,
there's only so many times you can rinse and repeat, right? Like, I mean, it seemed like he was headlining, aside from, was it Mania 4 and 5? It was like he was pretty much headlining majority of the original, all of those WrestleManias.
He was doing great. It was up until it was until around here that the cheers started dwindling. Yeah. I mean, there was just too many people coming in. You had Flair came in. who was known as the NWA World Champion. You had Sid Justice coming in. He came in from the NWA. You had other good wrestlers that were starting to come in. Shawn Michaels was just starting to prove he was a great wrestler. Bret Hart was already Intercontinental. Well, he was a former Intercontinental Champion looking to get his belt back. Or current Intercontinental Champion, whatever it was at the time. Hogan was slowly being, 8 years on top. That's pretty damn good, but eventually you get tired of it.
Yeah. It almost kind of seemed like, too, like when he wasn't the champ, they didn't know what to do with him.
Yeah, absence makes the heart grow fonder, right? I guess maybe that's what they were trying. I mean, he was making movies, too, but look at the shoulders on Sid Justice. That is absolutely ridiculous. The neck.
Yep. What neck?
that was his heartfelt apology to Hulk Hogan. Yeah, he sincerely apologizes.
I could tell.
The Undertaker. That's old school right there.
Yep.
Mean Merc.
So was around this time, was he out injured? Was that why he was just kind of
As far as I know, his back was really, really bad.
Okay.
I could be wrong, but I believe his back was hurt, and that's why he wasn't wrestling. And it was kind of like Shawn Michaels. It took years for him to, actually get cleared. Right. And then it was a while later, he came back as Randy Savage's tag team partner against Ric Flair and Razor Ramon. This is what I love. Yes, let's shake hands. Hi, smile for the camera. And I can't stand being it. Look at him. It's like Hulk Hogan blew a fart in the room and he just can't stand being around him. Look, he was going to ask him something, then he goes to Hogan, screw this, I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't know back then that something was going to happen.
Oh, I mean, looking back on it all these years now, just the way that his body language, when he had the microphone in front of Sid, and then he just turns to Hogan, and Sid's just like, here we go again.
Yeah.
And he walks off. Looking back on it now, it's like, holy crap, that was obvious.
I like what he called the big immortal one himself. What is that? Is that smoke or is that powder? Do you see that?
Yeah, it's like shower steam or something like that. They're trying to replicate a back dressing room, like locker room area, I'm pretty sure. Either that or that's the remnants of the big pile of blow that Hogan did before the interview.
Or that's the remnants of the fart that he let go when Justice left. That dude, Sean Mooney, has his own podcast as well.
Does he?
Yep. Big Sid Vicious. Man, oh man, he was just, if there was ever a guy that had it, and it wasn't him, I don't know who it was. You want to talk about charisma? You want to talk about the look?
I can back it up, man. And I mean, he wasn't just muscle. Like, if he wanted to, he could wrestle. He wasn't a mad technician.
Better than Brock Lesnar, we'll put it like that.
Yeah.
Brutus the fucking Barber Beefcake.
Oh, Jesus. I never understood the reasoning that why they stuck those two together, Hogan and Beefcake.
They've been best friends for years and years, man, since the 70s.
Really?
Linda, Hogan's ex-wife, tried to say that the two of them had a little fling on the side. Which was bullshit, obviously, but
by the sounds of things, Linda had a fling on the side with a few people.
Oh yeah, she did. Look at Justice. Wow, this is cool.
Man, count the number of heavyweight champions in that ring right now. You've got Undertaker, you've got Ric Flair, you got Hogan, you got Sid.
Everyone except Beefcake and Henning. Henning never wearing that title is a travesty. But back in the era, it was the era of the babyface champion. If the heel had it, it wasn't going to be for very long.
Yep.
Bruce Pritchard has a saying, it's because Hogan must pose. That's a Bruce Pritchard saying. Hogan must pose.
Hogan must pose.
I'll start it, Hulk. Go on out. There you go, big boy. Jesus, I thought that kid that took the hedge clippers was going to take off like Repo Man the way he snuck in there. Now, I always, this is what I love about Ric Flair. He knows that justice is limited, but Flair could make anyone look good just with his in-ring psychology. And he knows the limits.
Yep.
Now, obviously, it's going to be reversed. He's going to take a backdrop. You can see this coming a mile away.
Again,
he can make you look good.
Nice hip toss there by Sid. An actual wrestling move.
Just confirming, Donald, what time are you at?
I am at 17:18.
Okay, very good. Just making sure we're staying on the same time. Another backdrop? Yep.
Yep.
And another hip toss. Oh, here comes Taker. I forgot he was even in it for a second.
Oh, there we go. The Hogan signature punch.
He was, you know what? He was stiff, Sid, but it wasn't like he was trying to kill you.
No.
You know, like.
The former skyscrapers.
Yep. Well, they were the new skyscrapers.
Yes.
The originals were Dan Spivey and Sid.
Yep.
But that was a big chance for him. That was huge for him to get in there because Sid had broke a rib or punctured a lung or something.
Yeah, he got injured. I can't remember. I just recently watched a documentary on The Undertaker, and he was talking about his time when he got that little bit of a push.
Yep, that helped his career majorly. Oh. Flair, he never rushed anything. Here comes Taker. Talk about a guy that was just, he measured everything. My God, if he measured it anymore, he could sit down and have a cup of tea while he continues to measure.
Yep. There's a guy, man. Like, even though he was a pretty big dude, too, like, acrobatic. Like, I know it's been said before, but, like, nobody his size before or since would be able to walk the top rope like a cat.
Forget walking the top rope. Diving over the top rope.
Oh, yeah.
Edge has said himself. He said, I can't do that. He shouldn't be able to.
Like, is it any
6'10", 325 pounds. Like,
is it any wonder he's had knee replacements and hip replacements? Yeah. And
he definitely didn't move around that ring like a Clydesdale. He was a real athlete.
Yep.
You know, Sid could actually sell when he wanted to.
Oh.
Here comes, oh, look at this. Oh, the Hogan punch. He's just, turning heel was the best thing that ever happened to him.
It was. Like, you know, Brett talked about it too. He's like, you know, he's got a punch, he's got a clothesline, he's got a big boot and a leg drop.
Yeah.
And that was it. Maybe the odd slam here and there.
Look at the look on Justice's face. What's wrong with you, fool?
Well, Hogan looked like he was having a seizure there in the ring when he was putting the hand up to his ear.
Here comes Taker.
Sid was just looking at him. Are you hurt?
Yeah. Is the dog hurt?
Yeah, Sid could sell, man. Some of those chops that Taker just hit him with, like, he could sell pretty good.
He wasn't a bad worker either. I mean, like You see Flair and him working him over in the corner now. Oh, there's that Flair chop. Like he was, he wouldn't just no sell you. Like he's going to make you look as good as you make him look.
Yeah.
And he's always been like that. There's actually you got to find it. Him and Dan Spivey were fighting these two, jabroni curtain jerkers, just, you know, jobbers.
Right.
And this one guy wouldn't sell for them, and they legit potatoed him the entire match.
Jesus.
Like, they beat him down, and then even after the match was over, they continued to beat him just to prove a point. If you can find it on YouTube, oh, the beating they put on this poor guy.
I'll have to give it a look. Well, I mean, that was at the time, man. Like, you know, what went on behind the curtain, that was never revealed.
No, it's all coming out the last few years now.
You keep the secrets of the art. You keep those under wrap. And if you're not willing to sell in the ring, you're not willing to sell to let's go home kind of thing. And you're just going to be like, oh, your fake punch didn't hurt me or whatever.
Oh, damn, the flare flop.
There it is. No, like damn right, they're going to do what they can to. Okay, so you're not going to play ball. Well. We'll break your fucking leg.
Yeah. Well, here comes Hogan. I love the looks on Sid are priceless.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Flair's going to work on the knee now. Priming him up for that figure four.
I can hear Heenan screaming for some reason. Break them like chicken wings.
Oh, here we go. Right in the dead center of the ring, and Sid is turning his back to adjust his knee pad.
I remember Bobby Heenan was doing we have our volumes turned down, at least I do.
Yep. But
Bobby Heenan was doing the play-by-play with Vince McMahon, and I can hear him, help me, I've had it. The WWF champion's kicking my butt, help me.
Sid's not looking too eager to get in there now.
No, he's pretty much had it. Look at the smile.
Yeah, he's checked out.
Yeah.
And, like, you can tell, like, as probably the last 2 minutes said, Yeah, you can definitely see the heel turn.
See, he was offered at this point when McMahon signed him, and McMahon signed him to a huge contract. And just as it, because he knew Hogan was starting to be on his way out.
Right.
And McMahon asked him flat out, what's it going to take to bring you here? He said, I want the spot that Hulk Hogan has right now.
Right.
And McMahon said, you've got it. And he said, okay, well, let me finish up here what I'm doing and blah, blah, blah. And McMahon said, well, no, this is a one-time offer. You want Hogan's spot, you want this money, you come now or the deal's off the table.
Yep.
So he did. That's when he left. And then there was a big to-do, something to do with the Ultimate Warrior, I think, or something. But anyway, something happened in a match down the road. I think it had something to do with the Ultimate Warrior. I could be wrong, but Hogan basically went backstage and was yelling and screaming at Vince McMahon because the crowd was booing him.
Right.
And he said, you set me up to fail, you son of a bitch. You knew this was going to happen, whining and complaining. And Sid said, Vince, I can't work like this. These are grown men whining and crying about winning and losing in professional wrestling. I can't work like this.
Yes.
And he left right there. And then it was years later, he came back as Psycho Sid with Shawn Michaels.
He had a few stints in the WWE, didn't he?
He did, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, the double clothesline.
When does he start to hulk up? We've already seen the look.
I don't think he does. I think he just goes right to the corner.
Undertaker sits up in the middle of the ring. Hogan's crawling, begging. Just to see. Sid just looks like he's disgusted that, you know, like it's him and Hogan at a bar, and Hogan's right sloppy drunk, making a fool out of himself on the dance floor. And Sid's just like, you sad, man.
Oh,
Sid's picking his nose, reaching for the tag, and out.
I love this part here. This is, look at Hogan. What are you doing? Look at this. Touch me, you little witch. I'll slap your face. This is awesome. I'll never forget what Heenan said here, too. So Beefcake goes over. What are you doing, Sid? Don't hit me. Go back in the ring. And McMahon's like, oh, please don't hit him. If Justice had hit Beefcake, Beefcake's face would have shattered again. Brutus has no business at ringside, Bobby Heenan said. Brutus has no business anyplace. Now the double team.
Taker and Flair working on Hogan in the corner. Sid walking off, taking his ball and going home. Percy Pringle there at ringside, Paul Bear.
There you go. Bye, baby Earl.
Someone just threw something in the ring. You know, I got to say this. Brutus actually looks like that one cool aunt that bought you liquor for the first time.
Oh, that was a pretty lame elbow there, Hogan.
That was pretty lame. I don't know what Brutus is doing. He's swinging his arms in the air, flailing, doing something. Oh, the flare flop again.
Yep.
Well, that was the tag rope. Up and over. And clothesline. And flares down.
Look at Brutus. Yeah, I helped. Oh, no, the explanation's going to start. Look at the big man. He's gone. I love this. This was a little over the top. Are you crazy? Yeah, you shouldn't have been in the ring, Brutus. You could have got hurt. Blah, blah, blah. Typical Hulk Hogan.
So did Beefcake really, like, he really did bust up his face, didn't he?
Yes.
It was on a, was that on a jet ski?
Yeah, it was a jet ski accident, yep.
I remember him wearing that that facial plate thing.
Yeah, he was at a wrestling over a year. Oh, here's Big Sid.
A little bit of a different demeanor now as opposed to when they were doing the pre-match interview.
Yep, look at those eyes. But I like the way they set this up because it was, he didn't need anyone. He didn't need Hulk Hogan. He didn't need Beefcake. He was there to be the world champion, and that was it.
I can't imagine the politics backstage that went down. I mean, like, from the creative perspective and the performer perspective, like, you got to be somewhat on the same plane. But there must have been such a rift between him and McMahon and the rest of creative that they didn't go with him in that direction for the push.
Well, he left because he got tired of Hogan. Like, if you fast forward and you go to WrestleMania 8 in the Hoosier Dome, when it was him and Hogan, that's why it was a disqualification.
Yeah.
Hogan did not want to do business. That doesn't work for me, brother.
Yeah,
famous saying, doesn't work for me, brother.
He doesn't do business unless it benefits him.
I mean, Justice was coming in to be the next big thing. He was coming in not to be like a baby face like Hogan, but he was going to be the face of the company.
Yep.
And Hogan just didn't want to do it. Which, like I said, he's been known for that. Hogan has always said that he has no problem putting people over. If it makes sense.
Yeah.
But the problem is, if you look back in the history books, there aren't a whole lot of times it's made sense then. There you have it, watch along in the books. It was a good one. We're going to be doing watch alongs now for the next few weeks, just so you know. So keep that WWE network warmed up, ready to go. Like I said earlier, we're going to do a full WrestleMania countdown once we have the whole card. In the meantime, hope you guys enjoy the watch alongs. We'll be back next week with a brand new one. Thanks for tuning in. My name is Doug. I'm out. See you next week.